Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Matt Drudge has lost his touch. Try to get all that out at one time. Drudge, touch, church. Matt Drudge has lost his touch. He blew two headlines in 2 days. The cadet at West Point reading a book at Obama's speech. That wasn't true. And today's headline... this isn't true either. I mean, what's going on with Matt Drudge? What is he, overworked, underpaid? Feds authorize the first use of federal funding for human embryonic stem cells. What is he, out to lunch? I don't understand. You know, if you don't support personhood, you start to lose your mind. George W. Bush funded embryonic stem cell research. He didn't fund all embryonic stem cell research. George W. Bush, pro-life Republican president, was the first in history, first U.S. president. Well, the science, the possibility of funding embryonic research had coincided with his term in office. George W. Bush was the first to fund brutal embryonic stem cell research. He did. George W. Bush did. How many lines was that? Today, they've just introduced another 11 lines and 20-some lines. And Bush, what did he fund? Was it 21 lines, I think it was, of embryonic stem cells? And we don't know. We won't know until we find out from God. And when we meet the kids who were killed during these grisly embryonic stem cell research projects, they are like Dr. Mengele, the Nazi Mengele, who did the most cruel research, including on children, including on twins. And so when they take a child in a petri dish and they begin to dismember him and reproduce his cells to give them to any number of scientists to do experiments on and harvest parts on, what happens to the original child? What happens to the child? How long does he survive? When does he die? How does he suffer? I don't know the answers to all that. But I know that Mengele had two twin girls, young girls, in cages in his office, and one he brutalized and the other he left untouched just to see the difference between the two. And Dr. Diane Irving writes about this. You got to read it. It's astounding. You could read about this from the Georgetown bioethicist, and there are links at American Right to Life. Just go to the Personhood Campaign Guidelines, and you'll find links to some of Dr. Irving's most fabulous articles, including me and Mengele. And so this kind of brutality, it makes it easier when you can't really see your victim so easily. And so a child comes into existence in a virtual explosion of life. And all the scientists could look at is the body, but we know that God made us body, soul, and spirit, and he gave parents the ability to procreate. And a man and a woman could come together for one night on a cruise ship or a one-night stand or a 14-year-old girl at a high school party and some visiting freshman from out of state, and he is with her and leaves and never to see her again, and he's impregnated her, and that child is the child of that man and that woman, that boy and that girl. And it doesn't matter that they never even see each other again. He might have his dad's eyes and his mother's smile, and he might get part of his personality from one or the other or mix. And his body, soul, and spirit has come from God through his parents. It's called procreation. So at that moment, you have a single-celled organism. There's a difference between tissue and an organism. And liberals are too uneducated to know the difference. So if you have tissue, human cells, that's different from an organism. You could take some cells off of a whale, and you don't have a whale, you just have whale cells. But if you have a whale organism, that means you got the whole creature. And so that single-celled human embryo, that's an organism. And it's at that moment there's an explosion of life, and that child has body, soul, and spirit, and your awareness doesn't come from the molecules in your brain. The molecules in your brain, molecules are inanimate. Molecules. Molecules can't know anything. Atoms don't know anything. They're subject to the laws of physics. But knowledge, wisdom, envy, bitterness, joy, these are not physical. And so when that baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy when Mary entered the house with the Lord Jesus Christ in her womb, that joy was not physical. That's spiritual. And a baby is alive to God. We read that in the Bible. You could check Romans 1, for example. A baby is alive to God. God may be the first thing the baby knows. God may be the first thing the baby knows. As it's waking up into its realization that it exists, I am. And that baby is alive to God, Romans chapter 1. And that baby gets to know its mother, gets to know its mother's voice. Mom sings songs, gets to know the mom's songs, the melody of the songs. When they play a different song for a baby in the womb than the one they've been playing, the baby reacts differently because he thinks, well, that's a new song. Where'd that come from? And so you take this little embryo. We don't understand the depth of its feelings or awareness or emotions. Or spiritual life. We don't understand the depth of it, but we know that it's there. And then you take that baby and you start to dismember him, but you don't kill him, because if you killed him, it wouldn't be useful. It wouldn't be as useful. So you start to let him grow and you dismember him and you break him into pieces. And eventually you've broken him into so many pieces that he can't really implant and grow anymore, but his pieces are all over in laboratories across America and around the world. And George W. Bush funded it for years and years and years. George W. Bush funded it. And the pro-lifers lied to you when they said George W. Bush was against embryonic stem cell funding. They lied to you. It'd be like saying that some chancellor in Germany was against the Holocaust and he funded only a few of the concentration camps. And he only funded Zyklon B gas, but he wouldn't fund bullets to shoot the Jews. He only funded the gassing of the Jews. And you say, oh, he's pro-life, he's against the Holocaust, only if you're a fool. And so your Christian leaders lied to you. Your pro-life leaders lied to you. Your Republican leaders lied to you. Drudge was lied to, and he's too stupid to do his own research. So he does this headline today. You can look at it on his website. Feds authorize first use of federal funding for human embryonic stem cells. We've spent millions of dollars experimenting on these little kids, these tiniest boys and girls, and we don't know at what point do they die. What is the degree of their suffering? Because they're there in that cell. They are there. And so Drudge is helping to whitewash the cruelty that is George W. Bush. And the body count from George W. Bush, how many children did he agree to kill during his 8 years in the White House? I'm not talking about those he disagreed. Those he agreed to kill, 3.1 million children, 3.1 million children. That beats the death count at Auschwitz, doesn't it? So Drudge is out to lunch yesterday, too. He's got this book, a photograph of a cadet at West Point reading a book, Kill Bin Laden. Now, that's pretty funny. That's cool. A cadet reading a book titled Kill Bin Laden. That's fine. And the cadet next to the kid reading the book had a face on him that he was as angry as annoyed as could be. Boy, what a face. That kid's got a face only a mother could love. I'll tell you that. And Drudge's headline was Cadet Reads Book at Obama Speech. And what he's telling his readers is that Obama is speaking at West Point, and this one cadet is so disgusted, he's disrespecting the president, appropriately so it would have been, by reading a book during the speech. I mean, you gotta love it, except it wasn't true. When you click to the article that the photo was about, it said that the cadet was reading a book while he was waiting for Obama's speech to begin. So Obama wasn't speaking and he's reading a book. In this headline today, feds authorize first use of federal funding for human embryonic stem cells. Why lie to cover up George Bush? Or you know what? I don't think Drudge was lying. I don't think he knows. I don't think he really cares. I don't think Focus on the Family really cares, because if they cared about the kids who are mutilated in experiments that go on for weeks, months, and years, and we don't know at what point is the child dead, and what point is Dr. Mengele still driving steel tubes into little children to see how they express pain, what point is the child dead that George W. Bush funded to experiment on, and at what time is he still suffering before death? We don't know. But James Sekulow doesn't care about the eternal soul of George W. Bush, because with National Right to Life and James Dobson says George Bush is the most pro-life president we've ever had, that's an insult to everybody from George Washington to Ronald Reagan. It's an insult to them. Ronald Reagan repented of the children that he killed. George W. Bush is proud of the pro-abortion judges he filled the courts with. He's proud of them. And he told you he would not ask a judge how he viewed the issue of abortion, and he was telling the truth. Sarah Palin says the same thing in her book, Going Rogue. Now, does rogue still mean deceptive and unreliable? Does rogue still mean that? Because if it does, maybe the research director at American Right to Life was correct when he said, if rogue still means deceptive and unreliable, we may have to add Sarah Palin's entire book to our dossier of her. Because in her book, she says, hey, I appointed judges. I didn't ask if they're pro-life. I don't care if they're pro-life. I just appoint them. And we know that's true, right? Because when she appointed a Planned Parenthood board member to the Alaska Supreme Court this year in 2009, she said she's the most outstanding, qualified. Her experience and wisdom is going to help her to be a fabulous Alaska Supreme Court justice. And she's an unrepentant child killer. Hey, repentant child killers, you could save the world with repentant child killers. This is an unrepentant child killer. So Sarah Palin learned from George W. Bush that if you tell Christians you're pro-life and you fill the courts with pro-abortion judges, the Christians will give you money, buy your book, and vote for you. Because they want to be lied to, because they're desperate to be on the winning side, and they don't remember that Jesus Christ is on the winning side, and all those who kill the innocent and try to mock him are on the losing side. The Christians don't remember that. So they sell out the Lord for a seat at the table, and the table is described in the Hebrew Scriptures. God describes this table. It's set for kings, but it's dripping with vomit. And that is the table that Sarah Palin desperately wants to sit at. And that's the table that Jay Sekulow wants to sit at. And that's the table that James Dobson wants to sit at. And he will misinform you about Supreme Court justices like John Roberts, who volunteered to help the homosexuals overturn Colorado's Amendment 2, which was passed statewide to try to stop the homosexual onslaught and the persecution of Christians and others who refuse to approve of the homosexual lifestyle. We, as the people of Colorado, we try to stop that. We wrote an amendment. We passed the amendment. And then John Roberts volunteered to help the homosexuals pro bono craft the oral arguments to overturn Amendment 2. And he succeeded, and the homosexuals succeeded. And in Colorado, it's becoming increasingly difficult to be a Christian at work because they'll fire you if they find out you're a Christian and you think homosexual marriage even is not okay. And John Roberts volunteered to help the homosexuals get us to where we're at today. And James Dobson went on his national radio show and he said he had no choice. It's like a secretary who's processing papers. He just had to do it. That was a lie. Dr. Dobson lied to you. John Roberts was a senior partner at a prestigious Washington, D.C. law firm. He took that homosexual case pro bono, which means he volunteered to do it for free, and he overturned Colorado's duly passed Amendment 2 to try to protect our children and our families from the onslaught of this homosexual agenda. But Dr. Dobson desperately wants a seat at the table that's dripping with vomit. So he sold out what is good and what is right to advocate and lobby for and campaign for people who kill children by the millions. By the millions. George W. Bush authorized, agreed, accepted, supported the slaughter. I'm not talking about the kids killed in America by laws that George W. Bush disapproved of. We're not talking about them. The exceptions calculator at Pro-Life Profiles, it doesn't take that into account. We're not talking about children killed by Supreme Court rulings that George W. Bush disagrees with. You put in the candidate's name or the leader, George W. Bush, you put in his jurisdiction, the United States of America, you put in the years he was in office, and what happens? You checkbox his own policies, exception for rape, exception for incest, exception for this, exception for that, exceptions, exceptions, exceptions. And the exception calculator, which is only a spreadsheet, it only does math, it doesn't know from right or wrong. The exception calculator tallies how many children a particular leader has agreed to kill. And in the case of George W. Bush, for only the 8 years he was in office, he has agreed, he has supported killing 3.1 million children. And, oh, he was against funding of embryonic research, except that he funded it. And he advocated a culture of life, except that he gave hundreds of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, more than Bill Clinton was able to give in 8 years. Hundreds of millions of dollars more. Without a fight. He's supposed to be a Christian. He's supposed to be a conservative. George W. Bush mocks conservatives. Forget Christians. He mocks conservatives. He says, what do you mean there's no conservative movement? I trounced Gary Bauer in the primary. Don't you remember that? There's no conservative movement. Forget about the conservative movement. It's the Bush family. That's what the Republican Party is about. And he destroyed the Republican Party by packing the Republican National Conventions with pro-choice speakers, prime time. Prime time speakers, you got to be pro-abortion or you're not getting on Bush's agenda. And he surrounded himself with pro-abortion leaders. And he went to the same denomination that Hillary Clinton is, a United Methodist, which is pro-homosexual, pro-evolution, pro-abortion, mocking the person of Jesus Christ. George W. Bush and Hillary Clinton are United Methodists. United Methodists hate God. They hate God. And both of those politicians mock you. Both of those. They're mocking God. You think they wouldn't mock you if they mock God? George W. Bush for years had the evangelical leaders conference call. Every Friday they call into the White House and there's a conference call. So, hey, Jay Sekulow could get in this week. And maybe Wanda Franz at National Right to Life. And maybe Wendy Wright at Concerned Women for America. James Dobson is joining the evangelical conference call to the White House this Friday. More people are going to get on. And so the guy who ran the call for years, after the Bush administration is over, he writes the story, and we could have written the story before it even started. He said the evangelical leaders, they thought it was a two-way communication. I never passed on their comments to the president. The Oval Office didn't want to know what James Dobson thought. They couldn't care less. This was just a ploy to make them think they were important because they wanted a seat at the table, and we gave them a conference call in. And so what's going to turn this around? This betrayal of God, the betrayal of the innocent, what is going to turn it around? It's the same answer that it's been throughout the ages. The remnant who has loyalty to God above all else, that's what it will turn it around. That's what will turn it around. We're almost out of time. The phone number here, 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Tonight is the Parade of Lights in Denver. Tonight and tomorrow, right? So you could go to Personhood Colorado if you live in Colorado and find out. You could go and get signatures tonight for the Personhood Amendment and how important that is for us to get on the air, for us to get on the ballot, how important that is. And in fact, I'm taking a call right now from a Josh Craddock. Josh, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing great, Josh. Thanks for calling in.
I was just calling because the Parade of Lights is tonight.
Yeah.
And I wanted to remind the audience to come on out and not only see the parade, but bring petitions so that we can collect signatures for the Personhood Amendment.
Bring petition. Josh, this is fabulous. Now, Josh Craddock, over the years, you've been on the show now and then, right?
Every once in a while.
Could you say how old you are? I forget, you know.
I just turned 18, actually.
You just turned 18. When's the first time you were on the show? What would you say? How many years ago?
Probably 9 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, 9, 10 years ago. Josh, you've been one of my heroes. And so you're going to be down. In fact, Doug McBurney's going to be downtown Denver at the City and County Building tonight at 6 o'clock, starting at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to have lots of fun. Bring some warm clothes. It'll be cold, but I'm excited.
And how about a flashlight?
Yeah, a flashlight or a headlamp would be great because it's going to get dark, so we'll want to have a light for people to be able to sign.
You're one of those Eagle Scouts, so you have headlamps, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you guys do the snow camping and everything. So, okay, a headlamp or a flashlight, if you can.
There you go.
Bring your pro-life personhood petition if you have one. If you don't have one, go down to the City and County Building, 6 o'clock. Look for Josh Craddock, look for Doug McBurney, look for the people with the pro-life petitions, and you could sign one and get one, and then you could start to work the crowd with all the other Christians so that our government will acknowledge the God-given right to life of innocent children.
It'll be a great time of fellowship and a great opportunity to collect some signatures.
All right, Josh, thank you so much.
Yep, thank you, Bob.
That is so encouraging to me to hear an 18-year-old guy who loves the Lord and loves his neighbor, and is willing to go out on a cold. Is it going to be cold tonight? It's going to be cold. Hey, it's the Parade of Lights, right? It's always cold at the Parade of Lights. I don't know how that happens, but a few years back, remember when they told the Christians they could not sing Christmas carols on their floats, and so George Morrison at Faith Bible Chapel went down there with about 30,000 Christians? Well, maybe not quite that many, and it was miracle on 32nd Street or whatever street that was they were on. And they turned it around because the city backed down. And of course you could sing to the Lord Jesus Christ. When Cozy, what is Cozy Radio, 101, whatever they are, when they do their days of Christmas music, do they leave out the ones about the Lord Jesus Christ? No, what would they do? To Rudolph 50 times over? Of course they sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. That new Disney movie with Scrooge and all, Christmas Carol, the music in there glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's encouraging to me that there are Christians all over this country who have said we've had it with the lies to us. We've had it being asked to support pro-abortion Republicans. We've had it. We want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to have a vision. We want to love our neighbor. We don't want to give somebody permission to kill their baby if they wait 24 hours. We're sick of that. It's immoral and it doesn't work. It just makes abortion more palatable. We want to teach people right from wrong, and in the process, we'll share the gospel with them, and we'll save their souls, and we'll save their children, and we'll save their marriages and their families. That's what the body of Christ is called to do. Not to lie so we get John Roberts and Sarah Palin and John McCain to have an increased salary, more political power, to spread more lies and deceive more Christians? Sarah Palin needs to repent of putting a Planned Parenthood board member on the Alaska Supreme Court. And if Focus on the Family loves Sarah Palin, they will ask her to tell God that she is sorry for what she did. And if they don't love Sarah Palin, they will keep their mouth shut. John the Baptist loved King Herod enough to warn him of his adultery, and Sarah Palin is worse for putting a child killer on the Supreme Court. That's worse than adultery. And I know the Christian cliches, all sins are equal, except that Jesus Christ said, he who has the greater sin, and then he went on. As does the whole Bible say the same thing. So Tuesday, we're going down to Colorado Springs. American Right to Life members, American Right to Life is sponsoring their second Sarah Palin book signing event. And the first book signing in Indianapolis, 35 people out front with signs. This time, Tuesday morning, American Right to Life members are going to get the wristbands and the books. And Tuesday night, they're going back down there to go in and get signatures. That's it. Just get signatures, and they'll give Sarah a business card that says prolifeprofiles.com/Palin. And you could be one of those members. We're going to have a great time. So if you want to show up Tuesday morning at the Borders Bookstore in Colorado Springs, it's easy to find out about, get all the details. You can join others and get there about 6 o'clock in the morning, 7, 8 in the morning, as early as you could get there. They say the line starts about 8 o'clock. It'll probably start earlier. And then you buy the book for $30. You get your wristband to come back that night to get a signature. And then if you can't go back that night, we'll have somebody take your place. So you get your book signed, even though you're not there. And if you can go back, great. Then you get your book signed and you give Sarah Palin a business card. And if you can't make it in the morning, just let us know that you're coming at night and we'll try to get you a book and a wristband. Does that all make sense? And if you don't want a book signed by Sarah Palin, you can sell it on eBay, make some money. But Lord willing, we'll have an audience of one for this protest. We want Sarah Palin to read her profile, and I think she will. Maranatha, what a great school.